Hour News. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good morning. This is the morning news for today, Thursday, February 22nd, 2024, in the headlines. The IRC encourages the general public to engage in its consultation today, Thursday, February 22nd, to express their concerns and offer their opinion on a depreciation study which might impact electricity rates. Recently appointed Guyanese ambassador to Venezuela, Dr. Richard Van West-Charles, has formally delivered his credentials to Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro.
As it happens.
And a Taiwanese fisherman around islands near the Chinese coast says that they are worried about rising tensions after two Chinese nationals died during a chase with Taiwan's Coast Guard.
On Q.
Details coming up next.
Top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
The general public is encouraged to attend the IRC's consultation set for today, Thursday, February 22nd, 2024, at 10 a.m. at the St. Alphonsus Parish Hall. According to Idona John Baptist, communications specialist at the IRC, this consultation offers an opportunity for individuals to voice their concerns and to offer feedback on Domlec's depreciation study, which could possibly impact electricity rates.
We really want to encourage the public to participate in this consultation, because what we do not want is for people at the end of the process, when the determination is made, for people to say that they were not aware, or they did not know, or they were not given the opportunity to do so. So the consultation is that avenue where you can come, you can attend the public consultation, you can access IRC's consultative document on Domlec's depreciation rate study. You can look at it, look at Domlec's depreciation in terms of its assets, and you can make your comments from there and provide those comments formally to the IRC. IRC, the process is open. The public consultation is open to the public. So in terms of our forms of consultation, we do not take comments via through the radio calling program. Mm-hmm. Our form of consultation is face to face, or you make your formal comments to the IRC. You can also come to our office located on Cox Street and request that document.
And that was Idona John Baptist, the communication specialist at the IRC. Project Officer for the Sustainable Marine Financing Project, Carmel David, provided insights into the concept of a marine reserve, emphasizing its role in sustainably managing essential resources within a designated area, such as the one found in Sufria. He highlighted the need to protect various natural elements within this area, which led to the establishment of the Sufria Scottshead Marine Reserve.
Marine Reserve is a tool that is used to sustainably manage the critical resources of the defined space, that is the Sufria area. Obviously, there are a number of important features of that site. I mean, biodiversity, we have the corals, we have the scenic nature of the area. So all of these needs to be protected, because the livelihoods of the communities and Dominica's resilience strategies all embedded in the intactness of these resources. So if we don't pay attention to it, actually, and we allow it to degrade, we are basically diminishing or degrading our abilities to adjust and to adapt to climate change and the effects that it has on the communities. We all recall what happened during Maria, how these coastal features were decimated because of wave action and so on and so forth. So we've good coral bed protections along the coast. That is what really absorbs a lot of the shocks. So it protects the coastline from erosion. It protects the diversity of the area. So that can contribute to the livelihoods of fishes.
David added that functional marine reserves serve as a valuable learning opportunity which can be expanded across the island to develop integrated coastal zone management strategies.
When we have marine reserves that are functioning properly, it means that we can learn from these experiences and upscale that across the island to develop integrated coastal zone management strategies and planning. And we talk about marine spatial planning, which is very critical. So all of these aspects, we are learning from the experiences in the Sufre area. And hopefully one day we can upgrade and contribute towards a more holistic national development plan with the coastal areas featuring very prominently, because a lot of the resources, a lot of the raw materials is really connected to the coastal marine interface, mm-hmm. being an island. There are a number of areas. I think a lot of the land-based influences, a lot of liquid waste pollution that we dump into the, or contaminants that we dump into the rivers, poor farming practices up in the watershed areas, all of that can contribute to siltation, contaminants. Certainly, I mean, the rivers are connected.
Carmel David, a project officer for the Sustainable Marine Financing Project. Sagicor Financial Company Limited is expressing its continued support for Caribbean Media through its sponsorship of the annual Caribbean Media Awards, organized by the Caribbean Broadcasting Union. The company will once again fund awards recognizing outstanding work in financial literacy journalism and health education journalism across television and print platforms. The Health Education Journalism Award spotlight content that enhances understanding of national or regional health sectors, while the financial literacy journalism categories acknowledge content that promotes effective money and debt management skills. Last year's winners for financial literacy journalism included Great Bellies Productions Limited and the R. Gleaner Communications Group of Jamaica, while the awards for health education journalism went to West End Content Capital from Trinidad and Tobago and the Daily Observer in Jamaica. And of course, you can read more on this story on our website. That's www.q95de.com. President of the United Workers' Party, Lennox Linton, has raised concerns about the state of national affairs, emphasizing the need for a collective acknowledgement that the interests of the people have been sidelined while those of the government are given priority. Linton's remarks come as a call to action, urging citizens to recognize the potential repercussions of neglecting a public interest in favor of a DLP government agenda.
National recognition that we have a problem. We have a serious problem. We have a crisis in this country where the people's interests have been set aside and the interests of a few people in the government and their foreign friends have been promoted. We have a crisis where it appears from everything in front of us that we are heading back into the dark days of colonialism, but not because somebody has purchased us into colonialism, but because we have allowed our money to buy us back into modern day slavery. And this cannot be acceptable for a country that is going to celebrate 46 years as an independent nation later this year. And when times of crisis like these emerge, the people must speak with clarity to those who govern them. The Prime Minister now tells us that in the absence of natural disasters, we would have paid off all our debts and would have built the international airport from savings without having to take any loans. That's what he tells us today in 2024. And we must ask the question, what prevents us from being debt-free right now or from not having to take loans for development projects?
Linton asserted that the current dire situation in the country hindering the growth and development of the Dominican people stems from the mismanagement of the CBI program by Prime Minister Skerrit.
Quite simply, it is the Prime Minister's mismanagement and misappropriation of our citizenship by investment monies, the billions in particular, that have us in that situation. Because, I'm going to repeat this, people talk to me about and say, boy, you're always talking numbers and figures. For me, that is what makes sense. And I like to be clear with the numbers. I've said that we have $6.4 billion from passport sales since 2016 that is being kept under private control of Mr. Skerrit and his foreign friends overseas. We could have used that money to build the international airport for $1.3 billion. We could have used that money to pay off our $1.5 billion national debt. That's a total of $2.8 billion. And then we would still have $3.3 billion remaining for healthcare, for job creation, for education, for housing, for renewable energy, and for other national development priorities.
Lennox Linton, president of the United Workers Party. The second round of the inter-secondary schools debate and competition proceeds this week, featuring engaging topics such as CXC, gun amnesty, and carnival. Trudy Christian, the event organizer, anticipates an intriguing competition, noting that these topics have garnered public attention for some time.
Round two of the inter-secondary schools debating competition is this week, and on Thursday we have two debates happening on Thursday, the 22nd of February, and those debates are between St. Mary's Academy and the Afa Waldron SDA Academy. These two schools will be debating on the topic of whether there should be a limit set by the CXC on how many subjects a student should attempt in one sitting. So this is something that has been discussed a lot in the public domain. So the SDA, Afa Waldron SDA Academy, and St. Mary's Academy will be debating this topic. Also on Thursday afternoon, there'll be a debate between the Dominica Grammar School and the Isaiah Thomas Secondary School on whether or not gun amnesties are the best way to reduce the illegal firearm issue that we have here in Dominica. So DGS versus ITSS on Thursday.
Christian emphasized that Friday's competition is poised to be significant, as Convent High School and the Orion Academy will debate whether carnival on the island has transitioned into a hyper-sexualized event, departing from its traditional cultural roots. This debate coincides with the conclusion of the 2024 carnival season.
On Friday, we have a big debate between the Convent High School and the Orion Academy, and these two schools will be debating on whether the carnival celebrations in Dominica have become hyper-sexualized and no longer embrace culture and tradition. Of course, we're just coming off of the carnival season, and this topic should be a very interesting one between the CHS and the Orion Academy. So once again, round two of the inter-secondary schools debating competition takes place this week. The winners of this round will move on to the grand semifinals, which will be in March. And of course, those semifinal winners will take part in the grand finals in April. The winner of the competition receives an all-expense-paid trip to St. Lucia. And so the students, of course, are very excited about taking part to try to capture that grand prize.
And that was organizer of the inter-secondary schools debating competition, Trudy Christian. In other news, Guyana's newly appointed ambassador to Venezuela, Dr. Richard Van West-Charles, has officially presented his credentials to Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro, pledging to strengthen the ties between the two nations. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs and International Cooperation issued a statement confirming that Dr. Van West-Charles conveyed greetings from President Mohamed Ofun Ali and the people of Guyana during the ceremony held at the Miraflores Presidential Palace on Tuesday. In his commitment to advancing Guyana-Venezuela relations, Ambassador Van West-Charles expressed his dedication to fostering cooperation between the two countries. President Maduro reprocurated the goodwill by requesting the ambassador to convey his profound respect for President Ali and the people of Guyana. The presentation of credentials symbolizes both Guyana and Venezuela's commitment to diplomatic protocols and the pursuit of enhanced bilateral cooperation. However, the countries are embroiled in a territorial dispute over the Essequibo region, comprising a significant portion of Guyana's territory and population. Both nations have presented their cases to the International Court of Justice regarding the 1899 arbitral award, which established the border between Venezuela and British Guyana. And concerns are mounting among Taiwanese fishermen operating in the sensitive waters surrounding frontline islands near the Chinese coast following a recent incident. Two Chinese nationals lost their lives during a confrontation with Taiwan's Coast Guard, sparking increased tensions in the region.
Taiwanese fishermen are exercising caution when they go out to work on the sensitive waters around the frontline islands near the Chinese coast. They say they are worried about rising tensions after two Chinese nationals died during a chase with Taiwan's Coast Guard. They died when Taiwan's Coast Guard tried to expel their boat, which then overturned. Their vessel had gotten close to an islet that is part of the Kinmen Islands, which has been governed from Taipei since the end of the Chinese Civil War in 1949. A furious China, which claims Taiwan as part of its own territory, responded by launching its own Coast Guard patrols and on Monday boarded a Taiwanese tourist boat operating off Kinmen. Huang Junfeng, secretary of the Kinmen Fishermen's Association, said members were not yet allowing the situation to deter them from working on the water.
After this incident, fishermen will still be psychologically affected to an extent when they go out to sea. But according to our statistics in the past few days, the number of boats heading out to sea has in fact been normal. If the fishery administration fleet on the mainland comes out, this behavior will cause some pressure on our fishermen while working at sea. They will be afraid because of this. After this incident, the fear of this matter extends to the work of our ordinary fishing boats, which will cause them a lot of stress.
Kinmen is home to around 100,000 people. It also hosts a large Taiwanese military garrison, just a short boat ride from the Chinese cities of Xiamen and Chenzhou. Taiwan's Coast Guard patrols its waters, and several of Kinmen's surrounding islets are heavily fortified and mostly off limits to civilians, including Beijing, the islet where the Chinese boat was overturned. China last week said it recognizes no banned or restricted waters for fishermen around Kinmen. Kinmen was the scene of sometimes intense fighting between Taiwanese and Chinese forces during the height of the Cold War, but is today a popular holiday destination, with many tourists drawn to its old bunkers and bullet-pocked wartime sites.
That's the morning news, and here's a recap of the headlines. The IRC encourages the public to engage in its consultation today, Thursday, February 22nd, to express their concerns and offer their opinion on a depreciation study which might impact electricity rates.
Q95DA.
Recently appointed Guyanese ambassador to Venezuela, Dr. Richard Van West-Charles, has formally delivered his credentials to Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro. And the Taiwanese fishermen around islands near the Chinese coast say they are worried about rising tensions
when it happens
after two Chinese nationals died during a chase with Taiwan's Coast Guard.
Q95.
I've been your presenter, Felice Environment.
Our news, as it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95, the big station, Q95DA.